This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Come to Māori and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Bobby McCumber. I've lived and worked in both Fiji and Samoa. I have a kiripas heritage, and like most of you, I absolutely love my sports. Now, if you haven't already subscribed to the weekly ABC Pacific newsletter, you totally should. It's the best way to keep up with all the news and stories from the Pacific, and it's super easy. All you have to do is just Google ABC Pacific, scroll down to the bottom of the website, and enter your email. You can do it right now. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you'll know that I'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host has represented Fiji in football and has refereed FIFA World Cups around the world. Joining me from Suva, it's Finau Bulibuli. Bula Finau.
Bula Bobby. Man, it's the 34th episode. It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you've been here from the start, so it's good to have you back. My other co-host is one of the founding editors from the Island Sun newspaper in the Solomon Islands. Joining me from the studio here in Adelaide, it's Priestley Habru. Hello, Priestley.
Hello, Bobby, and it's always good to be back on the show with you and another Pacific colleague, Finau.
Yeah, you two have been here since the start, and it's wonderful to have you on board. Fee, we're seeing more and more female FIFA badge referees coming out of the Pacific. How does that make you feel, knowing that you helped create that pathway through your experience as a FIFA referee?
It's a proud moment, you know, seeing the development that's happening in sports and, you know, all around the spaces, usually what, you know, what people see are players development. But, you know, to grow the sports, you have to develop other aspects. And seeing that refereeing development, and especially with females coming to the fore, you know, it's really a problem. But it showcases the effort and the development work that's happening to support women in these spaces.
Love to see it. Now, Priestley, it's all happening in the Solomons at the moment. A different type of race that we're used to discussing on the program. It's the election, which was postponed due to the Pacific Games. Have you been keeping an eye on this from afar?
Yes, so the elections in Solomons happened yesterday, just from 7 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock. So the whole day was dedicated to, you know, people lining up to cast their votes. And yeah, you're right, it was postponed. It's supposed to be happening last year, but it was postponed because due to the Pacific Games, that was seen as very important for the past government. And yeah, the election happened yesterday, and now counting should begin today and onwards.
Counting, and no doubt that will take its time, as it does all around the world when we're voting for elections. Now, coming up on the show, netball made a big comeback over the weekend in Australia and New Zealand, and there's big news for our Pacific teams.
They've got 70 seconds. Singleton, and it's picked up by Veve, and what a second half the captain of Tonga has produced as an injury replacement for the Firebirds.
He hasn't looked out of place, Ben, at all. Halita Veve on court today for the Queensland Firebirds.
We'll also hear from this Fijian who is absolutely killing it in the AFL.
Menengola, who turns on his left, long kick towards Radigalia, two to compete against Mantelin from the side, but a free kick over the shoulder. And Radigalia on cue will get the free kick. So on a 45-degree angle, kicking from about 35 metres out. Asava Radigalia comes in. That's a good strike.
Yes, Asava Ratungolea from Port Adelaide Power joins us on the show. And I can't wait to ask if he's using Kava as a recovery tool like I've spotted the rugby players doing these days. We'll give you the latest sports gossip from around the Pacific, plus loads more, so stick around.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Every week, my co-hosts and I will cover sports spanning the Pacific region, providing in-depth analysis and highlighting some of the top moments. But before we get to that, let's have some fun.
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss sports gossip in your country, like who's unfit coming into pre-season, what international players are coming back to their roots to represent their small island nations, and who is getting sacked. Now, these are not verified facts. They are lacking evidence, but these are some of the rumours happening around sport in your country. Finau from Fiji, we'll kick off with you. What have you heard on the Coconut Wireless?
Well, on Tuesday, Fiji Rugby Union announced the appointment of the current draw coach, Mick Byrne, as the flying Fijian coach of our National Rugby 15s. So with that announcement, there has been rumours out there that his assistant coach, Glenn Jackson, could take up this top job, you know, take up this role. And it won't be surprised people because he comes with a wealth of experience as well. He's been with the team. He understands the team culture, the uniqueness, and which is vital in the sport. He is also a former player, former coach, and I mean, he's a current coach, former player, but also a top referee. So he has that sort of holistic approach. And so, yeah, that is the rumor since the announcement on Tuesday. The other one being the Themanasau and Sophie Ndialowai. These are national players, and they are also the Lambasa Women FC players. Now, there are speculations that they've been approached by Wellington Phoenix Women's FC, who participate at the A-League Women's competition for Australia. And this is a top-level competition in the region. And, you know, if the rumours are true, if the speculations are true, this is a great opportunity for these ladies, and it also showcases the potential of the girls we have in sports in the region and in Fiji.
Are there currently any Fijians playing in the A-League women's or men's that you know of, Finau?
Not that I'm aware of. I know that they also follow the pathway of Angeline Reka. She was also taken up, I think, last year for the trials. But for me, you know, for them, just knocking on the doors of such top teams, it showcases that, you know, that the growth of the sport and the potential that we have, the skill level has improved, that they are even inviting these players and, you know, who knows in the near future what someone will actually get a call up in a contract to participate at that level. I know Roy Krishna used to participate at that level, but then he's now in the Indian League. So, you know, the pathway is there, and the onus is on the players to work hard and the opportunities they get through the development programs at Fiji Football.
Oh, absolutely. And Roy Krishna also had a chat with one of our broadcasters. Whilst Radio Australia were broadcasting at the Pacific Games, he was there as well, which was great. Priestley, what have you heard on the Coconut Wireless in the Solomons?
It's the election period in Solomons, and, you know, sports and politics do mix at times. The Pacific Games, as we know, was prioritized so much so that we deferred the elections to just to this year, and the sports was basically on hold in the past few days because of the election, but then because the past government actually prioritized the Pacific Games, it could be their ticket to come back to Parliament as well during this election, because people in Solomon Islands actually saw what the past government did in building the infrastructures and that kind of thing. There was improved, you know, basically people were really happy about the Pacific Games. And, you know, our Prime Minister, then Manasseh Sogavare, actually, it was a huge boost for him as well as his government members. So we might see most of them coming by just because of the successful hosting of the Pacific Games. So that's the room on the ground.
So the Pacific Games, having it at that time, political move, it might pay off.
Yep.
Did you have any other gossip in the Solomons, Priestley?
My colleague Finau, I think, will cover the under-16, but so far Solomon Islands is participating at the under-16 OFC men's tournament in Tonga at the moment, and so far they have scored a huge score margin, like 14-0 against Papua New Guinea and 9-0 against Tonga yesterday. And rumour on the ground is that this is the team that will take Solomon Islands, hopefully, to the World Cup one day.
Oh, is that a rumour that you've heard or you've created? Doesn't matter. That's perfect for this segment. Thanks for that gossip, Finau and Priestley. That was the Coconut Wireless.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to find out what's happening in sport across our islands. Finau, we'll start with you. What are some of the local sport highlights happening in Fiji?
Well, we we're pretty much coming to the end of we're into the second quarter of the year. So there's a buzz of sports going on, both locally and those who's preparing for international competition. And I'll start off with Ndrua. That's something that's exciting that's happening tomorrow. We have the Fijian Ndrua woman, and they kick off their game, the semi final match against the Western Force at 4:35 p.m. And that will be followed by our Fijian Ndrua men at 7:05. And this is in the Super Rugby Pacific competition. Now, our Fijian Ndrua women, they have won the competition twice, but this is the first time they're having the knockout stages, where they're having the semi-final at home. So, there's a lot of excitement. There's rumors out there, like mentioned, that the tickets are sold out. So everyone is, really gearing up for this game. And especially also with the Fijian Ndrua men, they've always done so well in the local space whenever they have home games. I think it's the extra men, which is the fans off the pitch, that come in to support them, and they've always won their game against a bigger team. And so that's a big one for us in rugby. In football, you're having the normal competitions. So we have the Premier League, we have the Senior League, also the youth under-19 girls and women's league competitions that's happening, and the Secondary School Futsal Championship that just finished last week. Athletics in the secondary school space, this is a big event, where we have the Secondary School National Athletics Competition. It's one of the biggest athletics event, not just in Fiji and the region, but also around the world. It is mentioned that because of the number of athletes and the number of events in a short space of time, in 2.5 days, it's considered to be a big event. And so that's something that everyone looks forward to. It's a pinnacle sporting event here in Fiji. And so all the schools have gone through the zonal challenges, and then now the national championship will tip off in 2 weeks' time. And with the netball, we'll have an All-Stars netball tournament that is in the second week of May, 9th to the 14th at the FMF Gymnasium. So it will feature 5 teams, which is all our national teams. The Fiji Pearls, which is the main women's national team, the Fiji Open men's team. We have 2 teams from the under-21 Baby Pearls and the Fiji men's under-23. So these national teams will play against each other, but it's a platform where they can prepare for the upcoming international tournament. So yes, sports is a buzz here in Fiji, and it's a great time for us.
So the Ndrua game that's happening, we've got the men and the women. It's sold out, which is great. So we're going to see lots of people there supporting the women as well. Are you going to be there working or supporting, or a bit of both?
Well, I want to be on the stands and cheering, so yes, that's the plan. But unfortunately, the weather's changing, so...
we'll see what happens there. Well, lots happening in sport in Fiji. Thank you for the local sports report, Finau. Who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
I had the opportunity to catch up with Tori Kandelai. Tori Kandelai has, she's been part of football ever since I've met her. She's always had that passion, and she kind of had a similar career to mine. So she started off as a player. She played in the national team before switching to be a referee. And this year she was promoted to a FIFA referee. She got her FIFA badge, and she just returned from the OFC Women's Championship League, which is a championship competition, which is one of the pinnacle tournament for women in the region. And she was appointed to officiate the final. So, that was a big win for her and a big win for Fiji referees. I started by asking Tarika about her journey in football.
Honestly, it has been a long journey since 2014, starting as a player, then joining a national team 2015. Also started my journey as a referee in 2014 when the Finau Luwuli and De Leon came back from a World Cup in Portugal. That's when I started showing interest. So yeah, coming through the years, I stopped playing in 2022. And it has been a long and hard journey, lots of sacrifices, and... it's hard being a female referee, especially here in Fiji. And yes, you have to take risk in order to make the challenge, being amongst other male referee doing male games. Yes, I'm grateful for my mentors for now, the other instructors in Fiji, also my referee friend, Lunisa, my friends and my family.
Thank you. You mentioned, yes, it's been a journey, it's been a challenge, but I think you've overcome them all. This year you were promoted as a FIFA referee, and that's a huge achievement for anyone, from the region, in a male-dominated sport, especially here in Fiji. You've proved your worth.
And when you went to the Champions League, your first final, what did it feel like when they announced your name to do the final for the Champions Women's Champions League in OFC for the first time?
Actually, I was surprised. Actually, I was surprised and I was a bit emotional, but I didn't show it. Really grateful for the opportunity, and yes, because this game is not forgiving. So yes, I was like, yes, I've been trying, and this is my chance. Why not?
What's the next target for Torre Candelai?
Man, my next target, yes. As a saying goes, you only do better in your next match. So yes, my next target is a World Cup.
And what do you think you need to do to get there?
Yes, more sacrifices, discipline, and more support from not only from the instructors, but other women in the same areas.
Now, talking about the World Cup, the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 was brought to the region. It was co-hosted by New Zealand and Australia. What impact do you feel or you observe that it had to women's football here in the region, and especially in Fiji?
Well, honestly, I think it made a huge impact for me. And yes, I can see that it had made impacts also to the young girls. Seeing a female referee inside the field is something big. It's like all our achievement. Even for me, I was feeling proud and I'm like, oh, I can do that. So yeah, it's an inspiration to see women inside the field.
I believe in Europe and in the Americas, they see this kind of crowd, 60,000 and so, the stands filled up. But in Oceania, that has been a challenge. Do you think that actually helped in changing perspective and societal norms and, perception for women in sports?
Yes, definitely, yes, we can see there are women doing elite games overseas. So, yes, basically, if we continue to take the challenge and take that risk and show men that, yes, we can officiate men's game and control that 22 players inside the field. Yes, I believe anything is possible.
Well, thank you, Tariq, and all the best to you and your journey in refereeing.
Thank you, Finau.
Tariqa Delai, what an absolute delight. I think she sounded very happy to be interviewed, and that could be because she was being interviewed by her absolute hero, Finau, who was paving the way for people like Tariqa. That was a wonderful interview. Thank you, Finau. Priestley, let's move over to you. What has been happening in sports in the Solomon Islands?
So despite the elections back home, the under-16 boys are flying a flag high in Tonga at the under-16 tournament. So they won their second game Tuesday this week against the host, Tonga, by demolishing them 9-0. And they scored 3 goals in the first half, and they added another 6 goals in the second half. So the Solomon Islands remain unbeaten and now only need a single point in their final clash against American Samoa on Friday tomorrow to be able to book their ticket to the OFC Under-16 Men's Championship in Tahiti in July. Despite some disruptions in the team's preparation, the Solomon Islands are eager to get back to the main draw of the Under-16 Men's Championship and fight for the spot at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in 2025. Yeah. So that's the first thing that's happened in Solomon. And people, although, as I've said, people are busy in the elections, the under-16 boys are actually flying our flag high, participating in this regional under-16 tournament.
And coming off the back of the OFC Under-16 Men's Championships qualifiers, we've also had the Under-19 Oceania Football Tournament, which has just finished. Vanuatu have won all 3 games and have qualified for the Under-19 OFC Championships, and that is going to be held in July. Melissa Farah is one of the co-hosts on Fresh Off the Field. No doubt she will be very happy with that. Now, Vanuatu scored 9 goals, and they didn't concede any across their win over the Cook Islands, Tonga, and American Samoa. Priestley, what have you thought of Vanuatu as a team, like with their senior teams, men and women, that are competing in the Pacific?
I think Vanuatu is very good in soccer, and seeing this under-19 team doing very well in Vanuatu, I think one of the advantages they have was the home advantage as well, you know, the home support and the home ground. And yeah, I think that's also boosted their performance and doing very well against the other Pacific Island teams.
And now the Cook Islands were second, Tonga third, and American Samoa fourth. Finau, do these results surprise you, or you were kind of expecting that as well for this age range and Vanuatu playing at home?
I think compared to previous results, you know, and how the national teams perform, they definitely came into this tournament, qualifying tournament, as the favourites. And, you know, having the home crowd as well, that's an added boost for them. So it doesn't surprise me that they've come on top. But it's great to have, you know, this level of competition at the qualifying stage. So it also gives the opportunity for the other sports that's still developing to have, you know, have that space to develop without, you know, having big score lines as well.
What else has been happening in sport Solomon's?
Yeah, so two of our taekwondo para-athletes have booked the ticket for the Paris Paralympic Games. This happened after they qualified in the Taekwondo Oceania Olympic qualification that was held in Honiara recently. So these two para-athlete taekwondos, one is James Gigel, a male 80 kg taekwondo athlete, and another one, female Junita Tonwane, in the 65 kilogram, have both secured tickets for the Paris 2024 Paralympic Games. Our two able Solomon's taekwondo athletes unfortunately did not qualify after falling short in their participation during the Oceania Olympic qualification, which was also hosted in Honiara recently. Also in Solomon's, Oceania Football Confederation Futsal Men's Championship is set to take place in Noumea, New Caledonia, from April 23 to April 28. So our representative of the representative club from Solomon Islands Football Federation, called the Solomon Islands Matak Futsal Club, will be representing the Solomon Islands in this competition in New Caledonia. This competition will bring in five teams, which will be competing together. They represent Vaitonga FC from Tonga, Matak FC, which is from Solomon Islands, UNV FC from Vanuatu, Suva FC from Fiji, and ASP from the host nation, New Caledonia. Matak FC team manager Thompson Mai said the Solomon Islands Futsal Club is looking forward to represent Solomon Islands and the country as a whole and competing at this highest level. And this futsal club, Matak FC, comprises most of the Kurukuru players from the Solomon Islands, so they are looking forward to participating, representing Solomon Islands in that competition, which will be held in New Caledonia as of 23 April.
And do you suspect they'll go very well in that tournament?
Definitely, yeah. Futsal is always Solomon Islands, top spot. So
yeah.
We are looking forward and cheering them to beat all the other clubs participating. The other update from Solomon Islands I have here is that Solomon Islands referee Bernard Mutukera has been selected to be one of the assistant referees at the 2024 Paris Olympic football tournament. Mutukera is one of only three referees from the Oceania Football Confederation selected by FIFA to officiate in the 2024 Paris Olympic football tournament. The other two are New Zealander Campbell Cake Kawanawo and Isaac Travis. Kawanawa is one of 21 referees chosen to officiate at the Olympic in Paris. His Kiwi colleague Travis and Solomon Islander Mutukera among 42 assistant referees for the Olympics. I'm sure Finau, as a referee, knows very well these people from, as soccer officials. Mm. The FIFA Referees Committee has appointed a total of 89 match officials, 21 of which are referees, 42 assistant referees, 22 video match officials, and 6 support referees from 45 countries, including Solomon Islands, New Zealand, to officiate matches at the Olympic football tournament in Paris. The Paris Olympic Games will be the third global tournament for this Kiwi guy, Kawanawa, after the Waikato-based referee last year also officiated at the FIFA Under-20 men's tournament in Argentina and the FIFA Club World Cup. Mutukera, the Solomon Islander, also officiated in Argentina after earlier appearing at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in 2017 and FIFA Under-20 World Cup in 2019.
These FIFA badge referees are travelling around the world, aren't they?
Yes, so they're doing well. They are always proud to represent their country, not only in football but as football officials.
Yeah.
Just like Finau herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, Finau is a former footballer turned referee, turned commentator. Oh, superstar. Anything else happening in the Solomons?
So that's all I have from Solomons. Thanks.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Finau and Priestley. It's always fantastic to learn about the sport that's taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. We're going to have a look now at sport across the Pacific. So, Finau, Priestley has touched a little bit on the OFC Under-16 Men's Championships, mainly about the Solomon Islands. There's more teams that are taking part in that. What can you tell us?
Oh, absolutely. OFC have changed their format in this way. So usually, previously, you would have just the under-16 men's competition as one. But now it has formatted in a way where you have a qualifying stage. And then one team qualifies from there into the main under-16 men's championship that would play against bigger teams. You know, New Zealand, Fiji, and others who have consistently been performing. Eh? So it's a preliminary competition, and it's currently taking place. In Tonga from the 13th to the 19th, and there are four teams: PNG, Solo, American Samoa, and Tonga. Like I mentioned, it's hosted in Tonga. There are three match days on 13th and 16th, which has been completed. It's a round robin format, and like I mentioned, one team will qualify from here into the main under 16 men's championship, which is scheduled for July 28th to August 10th. So far on the table, Solo leads it. You know, they're the favorites to win coming into this tournament as well. They have 6 points after two rounds. Tonga and PNG sit on 3 points, and American Samoa yet to register points on this. But like I mentioned, going into the final rounds, Solo still look to be the favorite. The top four goal scorers in this tournament, Ashley Kawemasia got 7 points. Kennelly Sia has scored 4 goals, and Petty Kenimoi also 4 goals. So they have a strong team, and they're the best to, you know, to qualify into the competition that is going to be played later in the year.
Certainly lots of high scoring for these attacking Solomon Islanders. Any thoughts on that, Priestley?
Yeah, I think these young boys have been groomed early, and they've been organizing youth sports in the Solomon. So I think they came through that competition that they used to organize back home. So I think they've been well groomed and well prepared for this tournament.
Indeed. Some good news when it comes to netball. Announced on Monday that the Pacific Oz Netball Series is back. It will be held in Brisbane, and that's happening in June, so not very far away. Teams and more details will be announced next week. The national netball competitions in Australia and New Zealand kicked off over the weekend. Plenty of Pacifica women in the New Zealand comp, which is great to see. And the Australian Super Netball, Julita Veve, friend of the show, captain of Tonga Tala, is continuing on with the Queensland Firebirds. And Unique Palavi from Tonga, again, is on the extended Mavericks list. Tonga, of course, winning gold at the Pacific Games. So good to see they're representing across those New Zealand and Australian competitions there as well. Finau, what's happening in the world of rugby?
Now, the other competition that's happening in the region, another exciting one in the world of rugby, is the Pacific Challenge. Now, this is a competition where the national A teams, sort of like the second tier teams, but also uses a platform for development, participate. And there are four teams that participate in this. Is Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, and Japan. And they sort of play a round-robin format over 3 match days. Now, currently, they've completed 2 rounds, which was on Wednesday, the 10th of April, which was last week, Wednesday. Earlier this week, on Monday, there was a second round, and the final round will be on Saturday, 20th of April. It's hosted in Samoa. The defending champions are the Fijian Warriors, and the four teams. Currently, the standing, we have the Japan 15, leading the points table at 10 points. In second place is the defending champs, Fiji Warriors, at 7. And Manuma Samoa have 5 points, and the Tonga are yet to register points. The final round of games on Saturday, the first game will have Japan and Tonga, and Manuma Samoa with Fiji. Looking at that, you know, the favorites, again, like I mentioned, the favorites to come out of this Japan. So we're looking to have a new champion out of this challenge. Apart from the competition, the best thing about this challenge, it creates a career pathway for young and upcoming rugby players in the region. Now, the format is such that each team, they can register 28 players. And out of the 28, 23 has to be under 23 in age. Uh-huh. And so it provides that space for them to, you know, come from the youth and the development space to be part of this competition. And by participating at the competition, the best young players in the tournament, they will earn a spot for the Pacific Combine, which is a program that's that is formulated and developed by World Rugby. So they'll have a spot. 25 players will have a spot to be part of the Pacific Combine, and this is a high performance development program that is really it's aimed at nurturing talents within the Pacific Island countries. And so what they'll aim to do is, these young players will aim to try and convince the World Rugby observers that's present to be part of it. And so what the Pacific Combine training does, you know, it gives them a platform to be coached by professional rugby coaches from around the world, have the opportunity to be part of a platform where they talk about aspects of commitment, discipline, and other aspects that a professional player would need to know. And so the program has really proven invaluable since its inception in 2018 in really identifying these upcoming talents in the region and providing, you know, these participants with that access to really the world-class coaching and, you know, the strength and conditioning experts and stuff like that. So it's a great platform and a program that's been developed by World Rugby to identify the talent within the region and push them to a platform where they can get professional training.
Oh, that's an incredible opportunity. And I love that they're having so many under 23-year-olds playing in that competition as well, which is being held. So the World Rugby Pacific Challenge in Samoa. I am not secretly, cheering for the Manu Samoa. I was living in Samoa for 2 years, so I watched them play many times. They game up here, Park, were host of many, many games of Manu Samoa, and I watched them 100 metres from my front door. They were, so if I wasn't there, I could certainly hear the people that were. Priestley, we've got some Oceania athletics happening a little bit closer to our hometown here in Adelaide.
Yes, so this is the Oceania Australian National Championship, which is being held in Adelaide, and some athletic federation from the Pacific attending as well, competing in this Australian National Championship, Athletic Championship, which is held in Adelaide. In the past days, which will be completed tomorrow. So PNG actually stamped its female national records of 13.46 seconds in the 100-meter hurdles, which their athlete Aldrin Monaghi actually broke their national record on the 100-meter hurdles. She was placed second in a heat and runs the final on 4 p.m. Monday Adelaide time early this week. The previous record for PNG in that 100 meters hurdle was 13.5 seconds by one of their former female athletes, Sharon Kwarula, in California in 2015. Another PNG athlete, Pius Wissu, also had a very good championship, navigating successfully round one in the 100 meter. He then set a personal best of 10.6 seconds in the semifinal and clocked very good throughout, being explosive out of the blocks, and that's his personal best in the 100-meter men's competition. The athletic PNG president, Tony Green, said he was very satisfied with the overall results and thanked their sponsors in PNG for supporting the PNG athletes' participation in this Australian National Championship in Adelaide. Another Pacific champion athlete, Yasneel Karan from Fiji, breaks the Fiji 5,000-meter record at this Australian Athletic Championship in a time of 14 minutes, 29.50. So athletes from Fiji, as I've said, from Fiji, PNG, Tonga, Tuvalu and Vanuatu participated in this Australian Athletic Championship in Adelaide, which was held from the 11th of April and will finish tomorrow, held at the South Australia Athletic Stadium.
Wonderful. Lots happening in athletics. And have you seen any of it, being an Adelaide local yourself?
Not really. I'm just following the results and the some pictures on their Facebook page.
Wonderful. Now, looking to the NRL, Fijian Viliami Kikau, who plays for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, is co-leader in the Dally M. So still got a little bit way to go in that, but that's looking good for the veteran Fijian as well. Now, Fijian Sunia Taruva and Samoan Ronaldo Mulitalo are the leading try scorers in the NRL at the moment as well. Good to see our Pacifica representation absolutely killing it in the NRL. When it comes to NRLW, the Raiders have re-signed both of their captains, so Tongan Samaima Taufa. So she is signed until the end of 2027. And Māori woman Zahara Tamara, she has been signed until the end of 2026. So wonderful to see there in the NRLW. Now, the PNG Men's T20 Cricket Tournament, which we heard about from Patricia recently, it wrapped up over the weekend with the Mariners defeating the Casawares by 35 runs. The women's comp kicks off this weekend for all the Papua New Guinea cricket fans out there as well. So, look, as always, it's nice to hear about sport that's happening across our islands. Thank you, Finau and Priestley.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Esava Ratungalea is a Fijian Australian who this season has moved from Geelong to Port Adelaide in the AFL. Now, he's nearly 2 metres tall and despite wanting to make it in the NRL, found himself excelling at AFL after his family moved from Fiji to New South Wales to country Victoria. I started by asking Esava why he decided to leave the Geelong Footy Club and move to Adelaide.
There are a number of things that drew me over here. There was a really good opportunity for me here, so that made my decision pretty easy, and also the living here in Adelaide too, how cruisy the city is as well, so, and got me out of the city of Melbourne too, so I was pretty keen to come here and didn't take me much.
Is there much of a Fijian or Pacifica community that you know of or that you've connected with whilst you've been here?
No, not that I know of. No, I haven't really seen any Fijians or Islanders around here. There's plenty back home, back in Geelong and in Melbourne, and my family's back there too, but no, I haven't seen anyone around here yet.
Yeah, I'm Ikiribus heritage, so I haven't seen as many as I do in Melbourne. Yeah. It's quite a big community there, but I'm still looking. I know there's a lot of them in Murray Bridge. It's a little bit far from Adelaide. Now, I've read how proud your nan and grandmother were of your sporting achievements. So how has your family gone with being apart from you in different states?
Yeah, they're doing okay at the moment. Originally, when they first found out that I was moving the state, they probably struggled a little bit more than I did. Being in Geelong, I was about three hour drive from Cobram, my hometown. So my nan and my mum would always come up and visit me on weekends or come to games. So it's a little bit harder being in the state now. But yeah, they've sort of got used to it. There's been plenty of FaceTimes and phone calls back home, which is doing the job at the moment. But again, look, I'm playing it in Melbourne every couple months or every month or so it's I can catch up with them, and the club's really good at letting me stay an extra night back at home, so they're doing fine.
It looks like they came to one of your first Port games. What did it mean to have them there?
Yeah, it meant a lot. Nan's never been in South Australia before as well, so it was good for her to come and visit me here, and it was a special moment, and I love how the club embraced them as well. That was one of the first things they told me after the game, is how much the people around the club, the players and the coaches, really embraced them and made them feel welcome within the club. And my nan and my mum loved it here, so that was pretty special. And I also got presented a jumper by Alipadek Carlisle as well. It was an ex player here who's also Fijian heritage, which is a very special moment as well.
I was going to mention that. Did he give you any special messages when he presented the jumper to you?
Nothing in particular. I always joke to him about there's big shoes to fill in this number 27. I'm not sure how many games he played, but he pretty much just said, like, you know, just make it your own, really, and just back yourself. And he lets me know that he's always got my back as well. So he's been great for me.
Which of the players at Port have you connected with most?
There's a number. I used to play with Quinton Arkle and Francis Evans back at the Cats. So they were two main blokes that got me over the line to come over here. I'm really close to them, and we've spent a lot of time together, travelling overseas together in the off-season, things like that. But Todd Marshall played some junior footy together with back at home in the country. You know, I've been here for 5 months now, so I'm slowly starting to build more relationships now and getting more comfortable with and learning what people's personalities are like. So,
does it make it easier when you're moving to a different club, having those familiar faces when you first arrive?
Oh, 100%. I said it a number of times, that it was like moving schools, changing schools, really, and like having to restart, get a completely new friend group. But yeah, those two made it so easy for me. And you know, they constantly invited me over for dinner, just little things like that, going out for coffees and stuff like that, which I reckon made it a lot easier for me to build relationships with other blokes around the club as well. So yeah, that definitely made it easier.
Now, the typical Fijian is obsessed with rugby union. It's the sport that most Fijians make it on the world stage. Why was that not the sport for you?
Well, I wasn't a big union fan. I was a big league fan when I was younger. I used to play it in the backyard all the time with my cousins and other family members. And I always wanted to play in the NRL. But I was born in New South Wales and then we moved to country Victoria and there was no rugby there or anything. So I had to choose other sports. It was soccer or Aussie rules. And I chose soccer and played a lot of soccer. But yeah, pretty much the excuse is that I moved to a place where there was no rugby at all.
Yeah.
And then I had to choose the other sports. So, and that's why I chose footy.
Done pretty well at the AFL. Have you been back to Fiji recently?
Not since I was in school.
Right. How long ago was this?
Oh, geez, it was mid high school, I reckon. Since I was 15, maybe. I hadn't been back home since. I used to travel home all the time, going through primary school and high school, and loved it. And always just went home and spent time in the village. Recently I haven't been back home.
What's your village in Fiji?
My village is Namara. I'm north of the main island. Yeah. There's a little town called Rucky Rucky at north of the island. It's about 40 minutes inland from there.
Right.
Yeah, I used to go back home all the time, and it's honestly the best living. It's so fun. We always end up missing the first couple of weeks of school too because we never wanted to come back. Mum would always just let us stay at home, so it was always good.
What are some of the foods that you miss the most or that you loved when you were in Fiji?
Yeah, I'm fortunate because my grandmother still cooks me a lot of the Fijian food, and that's why I try and get her over here as much as I can or go home, because she still cooks really good authentic Fijian food, like a lot of curries and a lot of fried fish. I love, there's limbu as well, which is like a root of another plant that's puts in a stew, cassava, taro, all those things that I'm very fortunate because Nan still cooks me all that food. But yeah, they're the main foods that I do love and miss.
Mm. Do you think that there could be better pathways for Pacific Islanders, boys and girls, that want to play AFL or AFLW?
Yeah, there definitely will be. And I think the AFL at the moment are doing a really good job in improving that stuff. We've started this thing where every couple of years the multicultural and Indigenous players will catch up for a big week of camp, and that's a good time for when a lot of players would come up and provide their opinions and what we can do. But I think now there's so many players from other cultures that are picking up the sport and getting drafted, and I think which is really good. And there's a number of players that are in there. In the sport now that are killing it, that I guess are a good role models for other kids. And I think when I grew up, I never had that. Mm. So I think at that point, I think we're doing a really good job with that.
How important is it? You've done quite a bit of work with Geelong in the multicultural space. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, pretty much it was the biggest thing is I never had that when I was a kid as well. I grew up in a predominantly white community, a lot of white friends. Mm. Never really had a lot of culture around me, so I didn't have anyone to look up to that much. I was so fortunate that Nick Dad knew he sort of was playing, and I sort of found out about him pretty quickly. And you know, the way that he made me feel and the way that he was a role model for me is something that I want to be a role model for other Pacific Islanders as well. And there's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah,
you just have to jump in the car, go to Fiji, jump in the car and drive 40 minutes out into a random village, and you see the amount of talent, the amount of skill level that these kids will have playing touch rugby,
yeah,
touch league. But yeah, all you have to do is put them in a professional environment, and I think they really go well.
Mm. You speak of Nick Nat. What quality do you think would make Fijians thrive in the AFL, like you and Nick Nat Nui?
It's their ability, their agility for big guys, I think, is the biggest thing. I think the Islanders are naturally very powerful as well, and there are a lot of bigger guys that can move really well, and I think that's a quality that I think would really be good in an AFL, plain Aussie rules. Mm. Really big guys, really agile, but the only thing is, like, they can't. There's not many efforts there as well. They'll get gassed out pretty quickly. So, but I think once they you put them in an AFL environment, they really thrive.
Mm. We've seen Fiji and Carver come into the sporting world to aid with recovery. Have you tried to work that into your footy career?
No, I've seen, like, I constantly see on the socials all the NRL players and the union players drinking Carver after games, or they're all in a hotel room drinking Carver. But no, I haven't. I always talk to the boys about it. I do really want to have a little Carver sesh and get a few boys over to the house and just give them a little taste of it. Mum always has Carver as well too, so I reckon it's something that I'd like to bring along and test it out for my recovery as well. I'd go past Ken first and let him know about it, but yeah, it'd be good.
How would you describe Carver to your teammates?
Muddy water.
Yes.
pretty much it's just muddy water.
Oh, and do you think that they would be up for that? Who were two players that would be up for it and a couple that would just say absolutely not?
Aaliyah, definitely. Yeah. I spoke to Aaliyah already about it. Definitely Aaliyah. I'd like to say Willie Rioli.
Yep.
He'd be keen on it. I reckon he's had cover before too, playing with Nick Nat in the past at West Coast. Who wouldn't want it? Jeez. It'd be one of the first years, I reckon. Like Lucky Charles and this... Yeah, blokes that just, you know, drink cordial, that don't want to go out of their comfort zone, that you'd be one of those first-year boys.
All right, well, thank you for your time. Good luck for the rest of the season. Is there anything that you're looking forward to this season other than settling into Port Adelaide?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just keep playing good footy with these guys. We've got a really good young group that a lot of these blokes haven't even hit their prime yet, so I'm pretty excited for what this season holds for us as well. And you know, we haven't really hit our straps yet too, so there's still so much improvement that we've got ahead of us, and hopefully we can win the flag.
Yeah, that'll be good. I will ask you one final question. What have you thought of the Port Adelaide fans? How have they embraced you since you've been here?
Yeah, they've been really good for me. The games at Adelaide Oval are pretty cool. Like, even coming up against these guys when I was playing for the Cats, and the way, you know, they get around the boys with their music and the way they enter the ground just got me up and about when I was playing for the Cats. So it's pretty cool to be a part of now. And the fans are really rowdy. So it's good to be on this side of it now compared to the other side. So, no, they've been great.
Oh, awesome. Well, Sav, thank you so much for your time and good luck for the season.
Thank you. Cheers.
That was Fijian AFL player Esava Ratungalea chatting about Carver, his Fijian village, and why he hopes there's more Pacific Islanders in the AFL in years to come. All right, before we finish up, it's time to get to know my co-hosts and I a little bit more. It's time for our next segment. Gyaman Stapwe is Tok Pissin for Pick the Lie. Now, each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true, one will be a lie, and the other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stapwe. I do love this game. I'm learning so much about all of my co-hosts, but I'm also forgetting what's true and what's a lie. But that's okay. For now, we're going to kick off with you. Three things about yourself, two true, one lie. Let's see if Priestley and I can Gyaman Stapwe.
Okay, my first one is I have visited the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is I play the guitar.
Ooh.
And the final one is I love playing table tennis.
Ah, okay. So the first one, you visited the Caribbean. Second, you play guitar. Yeah. And the last one is you play table tennis. Is that right?
Yeah, I love playing table tennis.
You That's love playing table one. Tennis. Okay, Priestley, have you met Finau before, or you've just co-hosted her online like this?
I think I only co-hosted with her, and I've seen her pictures, but I haven't actually met her.
Okay. Mm. From what you know of her as a co-host and what you've read about her, what do you think the lie is?
That's quite tricky, but as a referee, I would say that she visited Caribbean already because she travels a lot. As a sports person, she loves table tennis, I would guess. So I think the lie is she plays the guitar.
Yeah, you know, I was in Melbourne recently and we had a big function for the Kiribati community. Mm. And there were two ukuleles and one guitar and this big traditional singing and choir that I saw. And it made me realise that lots of people play the guitar in the Pacific, except for now. I don't believe that that's a truth either. For now, what is the lie?
I'm not good at this, yes.
Is that the lie?
It's been on the bucket list for a while.
We got you.
Oh, we got you. Great. Well done, us. All right, Priestley, your turn. Two truths and a lie. I have the advantage of looking at you, so I can see your face. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so still in the politics in Solomons. So I have voted. That's the first one. I have voted in Solomon elections during past elections ever since I become an eligible voter at 18. So that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I was in Fiji when the coups happened in 2000 and 2006. The first one, I mean, the other coup was, you know, happened in 2000, another one in 2006. I was both in Fiji during those times.
Okay.
The last one is, I was in Fiji for a few days just last month.
Hmm. All right. For now, you live in Fiji. Did you see him last week and in 2000 and 2006? Not that you knew him. What do you think the lie is? So the first one was he's been voting for elections since he was eligible at 18. The next one, he was in Fiji during the 2000 and 2006 coups. And the last one, he was in Fiji in the last...
Month. March.
What do you think, Fee?
I would say the second one.
So you don't believe that he was in Fiji in 2000 and 2006 during the coups. I have actually mentioned this in my Guillaume and Stubware because I was in Fiji during the 2006 coup. I don't believe I saw you there at that time, so I'm going to say that is a lie, Priestley. What's the lie?
So the lie is the first one. I have never voted in my entire life in the Solomon Islands. Yeah, so as a journalist, I have my ethics not yes. to vote to the election. So yeah, but then it's just some unfortunate times. So I'm always away in the country when there's election. I'm always out studying maybe or out somewhere. So I've never voted, although my name is registered in my constituency. I've never voted in my life.
Wow, that is because you know so much about politics. You're reporting on it, and is it. Illegal? It's not illegal for you to vote, but you just, on the moral side of being a journalist, you don't vote.
And I was a student at the USP in 2000 when the coup happened, and I was attending a workshop in Nandi when the 2026 coup also happened.
The 2006.
I was actually in Fiji and Tonga in March.
Oh, and you, yes, I mean, we've all been to Fiji many times. That's wonderful. Okay, great. Now it's my turn. And now you have both seen and met me, so this should be a little bit easier. But people often struggle to pick my nationality. No one has ever picked that I'm Ikiribas. Mm-hmm. But people don't believe that I'm a Pacific Islander either. It's the last thing. So these are three different nationalities that people have mistaken me for, okay? Mexican, Maltese, and Brazilian. So people have thought that I have been these nationalities. Mexican, Maltese, and Brazilian. Finau, you have seen me. Which of these do you think I don't look like? Can you hear me, Finau? Are you
Maltese?
Thinking? Yeah. So you don't think I look Maltese. You think that's the one that people have not said about me. Okay.
So I guess.
I mean, fair enough. This is very random. I'm running out of questions weekly. Episode 34. Wowee. All right. Priestley, what do you think?
Yeah, I think people will say that you look Mexican and you look Brazilian, so you don't look like a Maltese.
Okay. Yeah. So I traveled to Mexico last year and everyone thought I was Mexican. So that is correct. I lived in a suburb in Melbourne called St. Albans. There are more Maltese people living in St. Albans than there are in Malta. That's a fun fact. And everyone thought I was Maltese. Oh, my goodness. I had to move out of the suburb because everyone was speaking Maltese and I didn't know what was happening. Brazilian, no one's ever called me Brazilian. I find that exotic and I'd really love for someone to say that, but no, that is the wrong one. So, hey, I got you both. That's always a little bit of fun to finish off the show. That does bring us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, sports commentator and former FIFA referee, Finau Vulivuli. Thank you, Finau.
Thank you, Bobby.
And Priestley Habru, the founding editor for the Island Sun newspaper, who has never voted in the Solomon Islands. Thank you, Priestley.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank you, Finau, as well.
Thank you to our producer, Declan Byrne, to the Super Netball for the audio used in today's episode, and, of course, to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts from across the Pacific talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Kaurna people and the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.